Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadonna, and with me as always,
Richie Byrne. And we had,
boy, do we got a great episode for you today.
No, we're having snafus early, but yes, we have a great.
I'm excited. Joey, if we have the clip, we'll go into it. I don't know if you have it up and ready, but
and on a much lighter note, Saturday Night Live is back this weekend after a month of being off. What do you think the chances are that somebody will portray you?
I have no idea. I hope not.
Well, if they did, which actor would you want to play you? Here are some suggestions that I've heard. Ben Stiller, Brad Pitt. Which one?
Oh, Brad Pitt, of course.
Very cool.
I love it. The man has a sense of humor. He got a funny bone. He's not getting grumpy. That he's...
I think he'll end up hosting Saturday Night Live when all this is said and done.
That might happen.
You know?
For somebody that smart to have that kind of a funny bone that it's like, all right, they're going to make fun of me.
It's a fucking mullet. It's a mullet, okay, people? Jesus. Hey, Brian. Okay, a couple of things before we start. First of all, Saturday Night Live is going live on tomorrow night. I wonder how they're going to do that.
The funny thing is most people don't even know they were shut down for a month.
I'm just wondering how they're going to do that. I guess they're just going to do like we're doing.
Well, I mean, maybe the cast will do... just the cast? I don't know. I mean, the cast and crew, that's more than the amount of people. Maybe they got Zoom lens cameras.
I don't know. Very odd. Now, here's the thing, guys. Couple of things. Well, we were going to tell them something up front, Mark. What was it?
Oh, boy. You're asking me. Well, you know, we start the show in a very, very specific way.
Yes.
So how we normally do. Oh, wait, our guest is here. We had a little technical difficulty, which, Richie, when you are not the low man on the totem pole when it comes to technology, we know that's a good day. So let's bring him in.
Bad guest.
He's a great guy. We have a clip we're going to show of him, and then we'll bring him right out. Our really good friend. We love him. Make some noise. James Mattern. In the house.
This is going to shock you. I was not good at sports, though. Yeah, whoopsie cakes. Yeah, I wasn't. I was horrible at Little League Baseball. I was the worst. I was the kid who would bat last and play right field. And when I was at the plate, the third base coach would say this wonderful thing to me. Hey, buddy, a walk's as good as a hit. It's okay. A walk's as good as a hit. Let me tell you, if you play baseball and they tell you a walk's as good as a hit, you should quit and play soccer. Let's be real. Because it ain't working out.
James, goddamn Mattern in the house.
What up?
Boy, I didn't know that clip was being played.
Huh?
If you told me you're playing that clip with that beard, I would have fucking not done this.
But you didn't like the beard?
Yeah, I didn't like lots of things. The beard was one of them.
That when I saw that, I'm like, look at the beard. How do you get that going?
I know.
Yeah. Give it another 2 months of this shit. It'll be back in full strength, buddy.
Look at me. I look like Father Time.
You look wonderful. You do look like wisdom. Like there's no way you don't get a math problem right or don't have some advice.
If Come on. Advice, I feel like I should be telling you my sins. You look like terrible. A father, not Father Time.
That's so great. What a great priest you would be.
You wouldn't even diddle the boys.
Jesus.
Hey, 2020. Things are changing.
I was head altar boy.
You were? You were?
You want
How did that go?
You want to hear a great story?
Yes.
I was not liked by my grammar school principal, Sister Grace. She hated
Understandable.
Me. And I was only in sixth grade. It was Catholic school, so we did 1 through 8. And Father Cohen needed
Father was, Cohen?
Yeah, he was from Ireland, man. He was,
you had a Jewish priest.
No, Cohan, C-O-H-A-N. He had the Irish brogue. I mean, it was like something right out of a Bing Crosby movie. You know what I mean? And they needed a new head altar boy, whoever it was that graduated, and he picked me. And Sister Grace lost her mind because, like, she was like, "Why would you pick him?" And he said, "Because he'll make sure that everybody gets where they have to be." And I thought that was so nice. And it drove her fucking crazy. For 3 years, she had to deal with me being the head altar boy. But I took I never let him down. Make sure everybody, if someone canceled last minute, I got my ass there. And I did. I was very proud of that. I was like so into it. You know what I mean?
6:45. So you were like a fixer? You were a fixer for church? You were like a fixer for church? You're like Michael Clayton?
Yes. I was the Michael
what
Clayton.
Happened to the wine? It's the altar boy. He'll fix it.
How are you, buddy?
I'm okay, buddy. I'm tired today. I didn't sleep well the other day. I got like 3 hours of sleep, and it's going to take at least 6 weeks to get over it.
Yeah. It's been tough.
I haven't been sleeping well at all. This has been, you'd think being home, I'd be able to sleep like a champ. I have the worst hours ever right now.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's sleeping well right now. I don't think anyone's going to brag about, those 3 months of uncertainty where I was stuck at home, I just slept like a baby. I like don't think anyone's going to say
that. I hate to say it. It's the best sleep I've gotten. Maybe
get out of
home. I swear to God. I've been watching that John Adams thing on that was on HBO about 12 years ago, I love American history, so I'm watching that, and it's like midnight and I can't keep my eyes open. Like I'm like,
you ready to go?
I go to bed around 12:30 and I get up about 8. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. Like Dr. Oz would be proud of me right now, man.
This is the healthiest you've ever been.
That way, yeah, I'm walking 4 miles a day and sleeping like a baby. It's the weirdest thing. But I'm
here. That's why you look so fresh.
What?
That's why you look so fresh right now.
That's why I look like Father Time.
Buddy, so you don't look like Superman's dad. You look like one of his uncles. And that's like Uncle Mark. You look like Chael or some shit.
So a couple of things before we go here, because we got to do the drinks and the jokes and all of that. I am calling myself working man today. James, I'm doing this thing. Brian Flammer, you were so close on Wednesday to getting this right. Every day I put a different name, and it's a theme. If you guess the theme, you win one of my T-shirts. So on Wednesday, I did – you're going to get it. On Wednesday, I did Limelight. On Thursday, I did Witch Hunt. And today, I did Working Man. I don't know if – so if you can guess what that theme is –
All things you dressed up as at a bathhouse.
No. Well, yes, but that wasn't where I was going.
Witch
Hunt is very popular in bathhouses.
Now, now we got that out of the way. So if anybody can guess what my theme is, please do it because I'm really getting tired of doing this shit.
And please write in comments. We want to hear where you're from. Who's listening in, and we want to hear you bust Richie Byrne on what working man means.
That is the thing we forgot before, Mark. Joel, thank you, Joel, for writing that. Yeah, thank you, Brian.
That's fun.
Thank you, Brian. Hi, Janet. I saw Janet.
Flammer said you look like you should be selling discount jewelry.
I saw it. Discount. I saw it when he wrote it.
I look like I should be selling carpet, so I can't laugh too hard.
Brian, make it to Brian. Tell me what you think this theme is. So, what are we drinking today, boys? What are we drinking?
James, you want to go first, buddy?
Yeah, I'm drinking Coke Zero.
What? You're on drink jokes.
It's fucking 5 o'clock, Richie.
It's 5 o'clock.
Happy hour, buddy.
Now I drank vodka last night.
You what?
I drank vodka last night.
Well, don't patronize me. You didn't. Who cares what I think? You don't have to drink because I tell you to.
But I don't want to let down the show.
Thank you. All right.
you have standards, and I'm not here. I want to carry my weight.
He's
John
a
Hamilton,
player.
You're close, but you're not there. You're close. Just like James Madden, one of my favorite people.
And she also said you have a mullet.
I know. Like, who cares?
She's my favorite commenter right now.
I don't have a mullet.
No.
Yes, you do.
I
kind of do.
You got a good head of hair.
I have hair.
See, good head of hair.
Bald men love me. Like, people with hair make fun of my hair, but anybody without hair just loves my hair.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Richie, what are you drinking there, buddy?
I got a little Merlot today.
Oh, Merlot. Did I see ice cubes in that?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
I am drinking a nice local beer, Yards Brawler. It's a beautiful champion ale. It's brewed onto others as you would want brewed onto you. It is very good.
Now, James.
Sir.
I want to talk to you about this bit we just saw.
Okay.
Because I was a shitty baseball player and was a great soccer player. So
wow.
Richie played the goalpost.
It hurt me that you said that. It hurt me.
I mean, but that's what it is, right? Like, I was that kid who couldn't hit. It's so embarrassing. I love that Mitch Hedberg bit, you know, where he was like, I wish I could play Little League now. I'd fucking kick some ass. Like, yeah, I wish I just didn't care now. Like, I cared so much. I was so scared to strike out. I walked like 30 times.
I know.
30 times because I was scared to swing.
When I was in practice, I could hit like a bitch. And then the minute a game would come in, I couldn't hit at all because
it got in
my head.
It just, you get the shakies?
Yeah.
You get the shakies, baby. The yips.
Got in my head, man. Yeah. Yeah. So how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm all right, bro.
How you holding up there at 5 o'clock in Vegas?
Buddy, it's the weird. I mean, I sleep in shifts. I go to bed like somewhere between 12:30 and 2. Wake up somewhere between 4:15 and 6:30.
You're like a frat guy in Vegas.
It's or an old man. I don't even know. I then eat 2 bowls of Raisin Bran. I take some Advil for my gout. And then I either watch Boardwalk Empire or work on songs and then hopefully sleep again and run it back.
So, James, I got to ask, you got the gout, buddy. How do you know what's causing it?
Fucking bad genes. If I ever meet my biological father, son of a bitch is going down, bro.
Coke Zero. That's what's called.
Coke Zero is keeping me alive. I think it's making the other foot good. I have arthritis since I was in my 20s in my left big toe. And for some, I think I had the gout when I got it discovered and haven't had it since. So that's been a good 14-year run. So maybe this will be like a poor man's Halley's Comet. And every 14 years or so, it comes back. And I'll be braced for it in 2034.
And children will line up with microscopes and telescopes and, buying themed matchbox cars of James Mattern's gout.
Please.
And it's going to be a big deal.
Mark, you really know how to speak to a fella, huh? So that's what I do. I'm working. So I've got some project. Man, God bless computers and that, so we can do work while we're not on stage.
Can you imagine what this would have been like 40 years ago for people?
Unbelievable. Yeah, it would have been a lot of hangings. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Let's get morbid. It's going to be true. I have GarageBand on my phone. I spend 2 to 6 hours a day making songs. I have about 4 done already and 3 in progress.
Please don't do rip-off versions and making it about the coronavirus.
No, they're all instrumentals right now, baby.
Okay, no parody. What are they called? I can't even think of the name.
Song parody.
Don't do any song parodies about the coronavirus.
Yeah. Please, Mark, the next coronavirus joke that I see on Facebook that's funny will be the fucking first. Okay, I'm over it. There's so much hacky shit. There's good takes. I think when we all get back, God willing, you know, in 2024, I think there's some great takes about us having to live like this. But oh my God, I'm just seeing the worst shit.
My civilian friends are way funnier than my comedian friends when it comes to talking about this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comedians are all trying to go for the same 5 jokes. And it's like,
and you don't hold it against your civilian friends for saying something hacky.
Yeah.
That's the
you're
difference.
Like, good for you. You're trying to be funny.
It's like you're a banker. Yeah.
I feel like I'm talking to Vinny Nardiello and Vinny Nardiello Jr. right now, Mark. Jesus, you guys are just killing the comedy world.
I love the comp, baby. I love it. Come on, man. I'm all about it. I'm supportive, but man, when you act a fool, I'm here to tell you.
Facebook is like a wasteland right now. You walk through the dregs of society to find one little nugget of something remotely funny.
Yeah. I mean, let's say this. There's people doing some really beautiful things on Facebook. You want to get positive. Yo, man, everyone, go follow Ted Alexandro, who is one of the gleaming lights of this pandemic, is just killing it. Is this Richie? He's hitting 5-run home runs. 5 runs. He's hitting in the pitcher. The pitcher's rounding the fucking mound too, man. He's rounding the diamond. 5-run home runs, man.
Teddy's great.
He's beautiful.
Love he has a good social conscience. He's also very funny, and that's a good combo. When you're one and not the other, it's rough.
It's a little RUFF, baby.
I gotta ask,
rough like a dog.
Where did you get your gift of gab? You have such a great way with words.
I'm still trying to find it, baby. probably too much wrestling growing up, and probably listening to DJs when I was a kid. You know, hey everybody, remember DJs? Remember them? You remember regular radio? That used to exist, dog.
They might be coming back.
Shit, the way things are going.
Everybody's doing podcasts now. That's all that's out there. Give it a listen.
Dude, I finally got this laptop because I've had this idea. I was supposed to, about this time in the regular world, start recording a podcast in a studio. I had this idea for a while. It's greenlit network. I now have the computer to start putting it out now. And I'm like, holy shit, everyone has 17 podcasts now. And I feel like a big hack. And I'm like, why even compete? Who cares? There's too much. What am I doing? It's just another tree chopped in the forest.
Right. Well, that's how I felt about this. But yet, I'm getting a good night's sleep, and you're up all night.
Buddy, you're getting a good night's sleep, even though, you know, Krypton's going to fall apart, and you're going to send your nephew to Earth. It's crazy. He's going to get power from the sun, though.
So let's talk business here.
Oh, my goodness.
You are well-known in the New York circuit for doing great work as a host.
You're one of the best MCs in the business. Yes. And in the city, the MC is the most important part of a show. On the road, they treat him like shit.
Yeah.
You know,
it's which gotten is a worse shame. On the road. It's gotten worse on the road because when I started, we used to, it was a basic show. And your show was, you had an MC who went up, did 15 minutes, like clockwork, 15 minutes. The middle went up, 25 minutes, like clockwork. Middle did. MC went back, did 5 minutes, which was very important. 5 minutes.
Because
that was the time where everybody got more drinks. Everybody went to the bathroom, whatever they were doing. That was your time to get everybody back in focus to bring up the headliner and show 45. And that's the way it was done. That was the show. Today, you go on the road and you got some guy going, we don't even bring in an MC. You know, some club owner's going, I'll go up and do it. You got a young guy going, yeah, I'm not going to do any time in between. I'm like, but you know what? They're all going to the bathroom. No one's listening to me anyway. That's because it's your fucking job. Yeah. It's your job.
Yeah, yeah.
I did it. You do it. And
I'm a fan of the old Boston way where the headliner hosted the show.
Yeah.
You want the most stage time? You host the show. And guess what? You also book the comedians that are going to be on your show because it's your show, your friends. You bring the energy. You bring what's going to happen.
That's interesting. I ended up doing that in Atlantic City last year at Atlantic City Comedy Club. Two shows, the early show, the MC doesn't show up. The middle, usually MC's there, I guess. And he was looking forward. You know when you're young and you can tell that, I just want to do a set. And he just all he wanted. And now he hears he has to almost host. It's like, no, that ain't going to work, dog. I ended up warming up the show, giving him the set, and then coming back. And it was fun. It was fun. It's also, man, you know, dude, it's probably not ideal, but you know what you're getting with you. So if you're hosting for yourself, you know how you're going to set the table.
Yeah.
It's a wild card sometimes, man. You don't know what that kid's going to do up front. So at least it's you. Now, if you don't do well up front and you have to come back and do like 40, well, buddy, then it's time to start thinking about podcasts. Then it's time to thinking about other things, man. But
well, I think a perfect show should be it's an evening with James Mattern. You go up, you do 20 minutes. Then you go, hey, you guys are all, you know, a great crowd. I want to introduce you to a couple of my buddies. You bring out two comics that are your friends that you're vouching for. You're not doing the fake shit where you're going, oh, this next guy's great. He's a good friend of mine. Meanwhile, you met him 3 minutes ago in the green room.
Yeah.
You're bringing your real friends up who you want to be associated with. You do the show with them, and then you close out the show with another half hour. That is how a show should be. And Boston did it right back in the old days.
Interesting. But I kind of like that. First of all, hey, can I go back for a second, though? I love good friend of mine you just met. I hate as an MC when I meet someone. It's like, because, you know, I think it's your job to present the act how they want, you know, to a limit. Some people go crazy. Here's one of them. Hey, what do you want me to say? That we're good friends. Yo, I don't even know how to enunciate your last name.
Yeah, I'm going to mispronounce your name.
Yeah, I don't know who you is, dog. I ain't going to lie to the people. Your next act is a good friend of mine. Give it up for Jeef Sababan. And his name's like Johnny Sussman. Like, what a son of a bitch.
I once was doing a show with Panette, and the MC said to Panette, what do you want me to say? And Panette, he's so great. He goes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's like, you know, my feeling on this is if I need credits for me to kill, then something's wrong. So just you can do whatever you want. That's my feeling on it. And then the MC turned to me and I go, say I've been on HBO Comedy Central. They go, I'm not John fucking Panette. And Panette started laughing at the-
Well, there's a certain thing where it's like there's
they're
part of
to see him. You know, like, of course he doesn't need credits. They're his fans.
If you're there to see a specific comic, he's a draw. You don't have to really, you can just say, guys, here he is, John Panette.
Right, it's
John everybody Panette. There's there to see him.
Right.
You don't have to say you may have seen him on. Yes, we have. That's why we're here tonight. We have seen him.
I want to bring up Seinfeld once just so I could say you saw him on the second Rodney Dangerfield special.
That's terrific. Yeah.
Well, that's
I brought him up, and he just wants simple.
You
guys like the doctor when they pop in, it's just like, what do you want me to say? Less is more. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you might know this guy. Give it up for Louis C.K. And the place would erupt. I mean, this was 3 years ago, everybody. But
erupt might not be the word you want to use, but you brought up name some because you are. I didn't really finish my thought.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking about the road, but in New York City, and probably L.A. too. I'm sure. And Boston, it's more important that MC is usually one of the best in the business.
They got to be strong because you are carrying a possibility of someone going up and taking a shit right on stage, and you have to clear it before you bring up a famous comic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a possibility Chris Rock walks in and some guy's up there bombing. It's his second time on stage. You better be able to get the crowd ready because Chris Rock doesn't want to have to go up and get his audience together, you know?
So that when you get brought in as the MC, that's really a big deal. And you're a name that always comes up. Like, who's a good MC? It's a matter. Matter.
Well, when we just mentioned this the other day with our Vic episode, you go to the comic strip, you know the MCs are going to be Mattern, used to be Vic, used to be William Stevenson. Like, there's a degree of people. Mike Britt's another great host there. There's a degree at that club that you know every time you walk in, whoever's hosting is going to be a killer.
Well, check is in the mail. Thank you, boys.
So, who are some of the big names you've when you're hosting and they came in? You said Seinfeld doesn't get much bigger.
Seinfeld, cute. Place erupts. People go banana. You could just one banana. They just go crazy.
I love when he gets up and the place is going, And then he finally, they calm down. He goes, now you have something to tell people at work tomorrow. I love it. Yeah. That's a great line.
Yeah.
The funniest ever was
Louis, Sarah Silverman, people go nuts. Judd Apatow, people went nuts. Who did I bring up, man? The one everyone loves.
Ron White.
All cool. Ron White. Who was like, he was the one that said, he got serious. We're kind of chit-chatting. I go, so what would you like me to say? He goes, my experience, less is more. And so I went up there and I go, ladies and gentlemen, Ron White. And he came up to me. He paused with the sky. I go, fuck yeah, dog. And then I brought his drink back up. You're not supposed to do it, Gotham. And I did like a, what are these? I did like a toast with him, a chink. And he gave me another one. It was like, mm-hmm, boy. I don't know why I made him Foghorn Leghorn. I mean, Southerners always are that. And they just call everyone
hey boy. Hey boy.
Listen, boy.
I worked with Ron once, and it was at the Laughing Skull Lounge. And when I went to bring him up, there was like a contest, and then he went on at the end. And at the end, I was announcing the people who, you know, the runner up and you know, and then the winner of the contest tonight. And I announce the guy's name, and Ron just rips through the curtain and goes, bullshit! I was funnier than all these fucking people! he's an awesome, awesome guy.
He's a beast. Yeah.
Another great, speaking of giving odd credits, I was working with Provenza in Atlanta, and I brought him on stage, and I said, you know, out of all of his awesome credits for any comedy nerd, I brought him up as, you may remember him from Empty Nest.
Wow.
Paul Provenza. He goes, how the fuck do you remember I was on that show?
Yeah, do you find that? It's tough when people tell me whatever, and they've done stuff, and I try not to be a fanboy as a professional, like, in this industry. Like, I'm a host. I've got to present myself well to present everyone. But man, it is tough because I sometimes work with people who are on my favorite TV show ever, and it's tough.
Yeah,
Janine Garofalo was in. Her and Todd Barry were both in Larry Sanders, my favorite show. She's also my. Janine was in an episode of The Sopranos, my second favorite show. So part of me wants to be like, "Hey, can I say that you were on my two favorite shows, Larry Sanders, Sopranos?" Like a big goober, like a big chucharoon.
Chucharoon.
What did she say?
Stupid fanboy.
That's what she said?
No, this my inner voice.
Right. Oh, okay.
Pandemic and quarantine keeps going on. I'm going to hear more of them, just so you know, the way things are going. There's going to be a lot more voices in this head.
Now, how long were you doing comedy before you came to New York? You started in Vegas?
I had five on it, baby. 5 years.
Okay.
I thought I was a veteran. Yeah, I thought I was a real chiseled
You're a grizzled
pro.
Vet.
Real yeah. chiseled pro.
He had the 2 mile stare down.
Was there a lot of work to get in Vegas starting out? Because I would think Vegas would be hard to.
Not in the least. They have so much more opportunity here now that I'm jealous of. And it's crazy. We would fight for stage time.
Yeah.
Shuli and I came up together. We had a little crew called the Renegades of Comedy, which no one's bragging about, but we'll bring it up. And, you know, Shuli's told the story a million times. He used to work at McCarran Airport, pushing people in wheelchairs, and would take a break and go to the Greek Isles in Sandy Hackett's club and bomb to get experience. Because that was the roughest, oh my God. Take your worst 10 bombs and just shove them up your ass, because they're nothing like we experienced at the Greek Isle. And if you ever did okay, it felt like you just won the Super Bowl. And not only won the Super Bowl, you came back from like 3 touchdowns in the fourth. And you were like, yeah, it was so bad. And I also used to do that. There used to be a show at the Bourbon's one of these shitty casinos. I used to wait tables at Margaritaville. I would take a break, run to this place in my stupid Hawaiian shirts from Margaritaville and go bomb for 20 minutes, come back and have to pretend, hey, so how was the nachos? And do that shit.
Really?
And I was taking an hour and a half. But I couldn't get fired.
I remember, non-union.
Take that, scabs. What are you going to do?
I remember Jay London used to pull up to clubs in his cab that he was driving, jump up on stage, do his time, get back in the cab, and go pick up a fare.
When you're trying to find a cab, you have to get them wherever you can.
he would get off stage and he'd go, I'm heading over to the strip. And a comic would be like, yeah, yeah, I'll hop out in the car with you. And then when he'd get in the car, he'd turn the meter on.
Yeah, he turned the meter on. I miss Jay Lunn.
So who's out of all the greats that you have brought up on stage, who have you been most starstruck by?
Oh, man. That's interesting, dude.
Because working at Stand Up New York, I met everybody.
It's a two-way tie. Richie Byrne and Mark Riccadonna. Guys, do I know how to...
Oh, boy.
Do I sound like someone watching Boardwalk Empire? Am I playing politics or what? Come on. Yo, I brought up Chris Rock years ago on a Saturday. I was starting to do weekends at Stand Up New York. Real crazy thing happened. No power. I can't remember if it was bad weather or what, but they had no power to stand up. They still did the shows. I think they lit candles. We went without.
We did that during the blackout.
What's that?
During the blackout, we put candles up all over and did a show.
Yeah, it's fun. We kind of did that. Yeah, after Sandy, I did a show, I think, on Halloween at stand up, and it was kind of like that. So, but this, we had no power. We had no amps, and Chris stopped in. And was like, I want to work out new stuff. I brought up Chris Rock.
Wow. With my
fucking microphone. And I'm nervous because you feel a lot of pressure. And I mean, you know, the first time you see Bring the Pain and Bigger and Blacker, it's like, I was, you know, just starting. And I was like, God, this is the greatest things ever. So someone you admire, and then you bring them up in the worst situations ever. It felt like medieval times. It almost felt like I was doing Shakespeare.
Oh my
and
God.
So great is the weirdest situation ever. Yeah.
So when Saturday Night Live had their big reunion, every cast member came into the city and they all wanted to do sets to get their juices going before they had to do it. So we had one night that it was like Kevin Nealon, John Lovitz, David Spade, Chris Rock, and it just like a cavalcade of all these greats. And they had a contest to see who would get the biggest applause. It was like, it was so funny and it was so fun to watch. I mean, we talked about him earlier, Hannah, Daryl
Hannah.
And he was on and it was fantastic. The, let's see here, what we got? One of the best shows in Torrington.
Oh, shit, man.
He's talking on her phone. Let's hear this story. Tell this story. We can always go back to.
You know, do you remember this, James?
I don't. I vaguely. I just remember there's a bunch of Yentas yapping up front on the phone and all that. And I think I had to give them the business. And if I'm not mistaken, I end up making out with one of them. And my ride was going back and I had to go back. The heckling girls who suck that you tell them where to stick it always want to throw. They always want to throw game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How about you, Richie? Who have you been starstruck by? Like working at Stand Up New York, I had to put on a professional face and deal professionally with Seinfeld, Robin Williams, George Carlin. You name somebody that have come through those doors.
I guess to some degree, Rodney. When I met Rodney and we got drunk and I said to him, I go, I just got drunk with Rodney Dangerfield. And I said, I can retire now. And he went, you should.
And you didn't take advice from the great one.
And it was the funniest thing because I really didn't. Like, I walked right into it. You know what I mean? And I didn't see it coming at all, man, you know? So Rodney was a big one. I met Carlin. That was cool.
Yeah.
Carlin was great. He was so nice, Carlin. You know,
I got to meet him and I got to talk to him on the phone. Yeah. And the funny thing is, of all these greats, these huge comics that have come through, I actually was just talking to Tony V about this. The only time I was ever starstruck was Bobcat Goldthwait. I went to
tremendous comedian, by the way.
I've looked up to him since I was a little kid, and then when I found out that he got in the directing. I love all of his movies.
Yeah, his movies are great.
And I was at the Woodstock Film Festival. I had a short film in it, and he was premiering his Bigfoot movie. And I went to the screening, and after, he was like, yeah, if you have any questions or anything, just come down and talk to me. And I went down and was a 13-year-old girl. I was just, oh my God. And then, I didn't know how to act. I was like watching myself make a fool out of myself.
Right. I'm not going to say his name, but I was with a comedian one night at Gotham at a charity event, and I wasn't on the show, and Artie Lang walked in.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
The guy who ran the event said, "Hey, Artie Lang's here. I got to put you on after him because you're the only one I know who can follow him. The place is going to go crazy." So my buddy's all fucked up. You know, he's like, you know how it is. You're like, I don't want to follow somebody. And it was a sports theme show. Oh. They were all Stern fans. It's all guys. They're going berserk. And every time Artie tells a joke, they all go berserk. And my buddy's going, oh, fuck. And I'm going, dude, you're a comedian. This is what you do.
You've told this story. You can say his name.
You're going to kill. Oh, I did? Okay. And
I think I know. I have a feeling. I have a guess who this is.
It was Jeff.
Norris.
Norris. So, I got him pumped. You know, I'm like, Jeff, you're going to go up there. You're going to kill. Blah, blah, blah. Right before Artie's done, the guy goes up to Jeff and goes, hey, Seinfeld just walked in. And I go, you're on your own.
That's the we didn't even get to it. This joke. I'll do the joke of the night. A guy is sitting at home and he hears a voice from heaven that says, "Go to Las Vegas." He goes, "Oh, okay." Gets on a plane. He flies to Las Vegas. Then he hears the voice go, "Go to Caesar's Palace." He goes, "Okay." He walks down the Caesar's Palace. He goes. All of a sudden, he hears. Go to the blackjack table, fifth one. He walks over, he counts down five. He goes over, he goes, put everything you own down. He puts everything he owns down. He gets his cards. He has 18. He goes, okay, should I stay? Should I go? He goes, no, take the hit. They drop it down. It's a king. The guy goes, what? And all of a sudden he hears in his voice, shit. What do I know? That'll be our joke. Unless, James, do you got a joke for us?
Maybe the next time I tell one will probably be the first. So what are we going to do here?
Tell a joke.
Oh, come man, on. I don't know any quick, simple jokes. Like
I want to know.
Can I do my act to see if I remember it when we start back up in 2025? Hey, guys, I live in Brooklyn. You know, real Brooklyn. Fucking idiot.
I live in Brooklyn. You know, before they knocked down the Brooklyn Bridge and it turned into a state penitentiary, like in the movie we used to watch, Escape from New York, but then it became real.
Before it became I Am Legend? Horse? Yeah. What's that, brother?
What's the deal with the horse behind you?
Oh, man, there's a picture, man. I mean, this is my people's house, and I think it's a nice horse. I think she has a couple horses here, now that I'm realizing, on the wall.
You
it's
didn't draw nice. Something when you were a kid or anything, right?
No, man. This is a... When I got here, it was the first time I've been in this house. And it's really nice.
I thought that you were like in your childhood home or something.
No, I'm not seeing anyone just in case because, you know, older people, dog. Just in case I'm one out of the four that has no symptoms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got some high-risk people, so I don't want to get no one. Man, I came here so my mental health would be good and I could relax while this was going on and all that. I did not come here to kill loved ones. It was like, hey, come here. Yeah, you're 70 and have bad lungs. Who knows? Boy, what happened to Madden? Man, he was going crazy alone in his apartment that had, you know, leaks in the roof and that. So he wanted to take care of himself and not go crazy. Cool, where'd he go? Home? What happened? Yeah, he killed his aunt and uncle. Oh, why? He secretly had COVID because he didn't know.
Is that the aunt and uncle I met at Christmas?
Yes. They're the best.
Oh, really? They're really great. That was the night. We had a great night that night. We went to Cap. You were hosting at Caroline's.
Yes, sir.
And I went up and Ryan Reese and you and I went out with your aunt and uncle. Tell them I said hi. They were great. They were lovely people.
I definitely will, my friend. Yes, that was fun night.
That was a fun night.
There were some drunk people there that night, baby.
Yeah, I had to be careful. I was careful. But yeah, some people were getting a little hot. Right. Because everybody came over from Caroline's.
Yo, some people were speaking in riddles. Let's just be blunt, man. People were talking wild, man.
You ever hang out with Greg Charles?
It's been years, but the dude's an absolute legend, man.
We need to get him on the show, Mark. He's got the best stories.
Oh, my God. Imagine we Greg get him Paul, on
loose. The head of publicity for Carol Lines and one of the best people you'll ever meet in your life.
Such a good dude.
He has a great line about drinking martinis that I heard. He never told it to me, but he told it to the old manager, Chris at Carol Lines, and it's the most accurate. And I quote him, when anytime anyone wants to drink a martini, they're like tits. One isn't enough. Three is too many. That's it. Two and done, Bubba.
That's perfect.
Two and done, like Michael Jordan in college. Two and done. Get out.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian Flammer had a guess.
I know, Brian. You went too far the other way. Now I'm going to give it to Brian.
I think you have to.
It was Rush songs.
Yeah.
And he wrote Rush the other day, and now he's writing. What did he write? I don't even know what he wrote yet.
I have to be honest, Richie, you're a little bit of a bitch for making him not win on the guest Rush, and you were saying Rush songs.
Can I just say that I was going to give it to him no matter what, Mark, but he guessed it on the first fucking day, and I didn't
Okay, fair game.
It didn't matter what anybody said afterwards. Brian Flammer was going to win the T-shirt. I don't know if this works. I don't know. I mean, I just thought we'd give it a shot. I don't know if people like
it. I love it. I think it was great that you're doing it.
Next week.
I love that you went with Rush.
I put a new name under my job title every day. I
like it. Matt, do you think basketball will come back this year?
It's going to get interesting. I heard the drop dead date would be Labor Day. People are like, there's going to be no sports. Look, they'll probably be
Labor Day to come back or to end.
It's a drop dead. If push comes to shove, they'll drop dead around Labor Day, and then they'll probably do like they did for the last lockout, which a lot of people think they should just do in general. Start the season on Christmas. Start the season on Christmas. That's when
You're talking a new season.
Yeah, but the drop dead for this season is Labor Day, supposedly amongst the league is. That will be the latest they will go. They're willing to go into the summer.
And then what? Then not start the next season till Christmas? That's what you're
saying? Christmas, yes.
That's interesting. The XFL is done.
The which one?
The XFL announced today that I feel bad for them, man.
Oh, they can all get jobs. They'll be fine.
I meant the league. I wasn't a big fan, but I did watch a few games and had a couple of shekels on a couple of games. And
if you can bet on it, Richie's watching it.
I think their rule changes are going to get implemented in the NFL eventually.
I liked a lot of what they did.
They did some good things.
A lot of what they did, I liked a lot. But that really Labor Day, huh? Wow.
What I think the rumor is, they're going to play everything here in Vegas. There's like two or three arenas, and so they can do things there. It's going to be purely for television. People don't realize it. They're going to play these for ratings. People are hungry for live sports. They're going to need it.
And how about this horse? Will you watch the horse matches? They're going to play horse, different players.
I don't know. It's weird because they're going to be doing it like we're doing it. It's going to be –
You know you can gamble on it, and that's what they're looking for. You know that.
Paul Pierce? My boy Paul Pierce?
Paul Pierce. Well, is he going to be one of them?
I got to be honest, I'm kind of digging the fact that we don't know what's going on, and it might go back to like the 50s, and people are going to like really, really feel good about like going to a baseball game.
When they do, yes.
Going to a thing. Like, we're all appreciating our families, we're appreciating the things we have, you know, we're taking walks together as families, we're having little things together. This might be a nice new norm. And, you know, when everything clears up, we'll bring back the horse, old Pistol Pete style.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. He is even Pistol Pete. The kid's 12 years old. He's talking about Pistol
Pete. Well, everyone's seen that movie. Everyone's seen that movie with Pistol Pete.
But I think what's
going to end up happening, boys, is I think the NBA by this, and maybe even the NHL, absolute asterisk season for those and for MLB, because they're going to do a reduced season. I think there's a great chance that the playoffs are kind of like an NCAA tournament, one game or best of three, and it's its own thing. You win this year, it you can't really put much water to it. But man, from a gambling speculation, guys, you can come back. Giannis doesn't even have a hoop The MVP is going to come out there missing more shots than he already does. And he doesn't have much of a shot. I'm going to tell you right now, I had my buddy 2 weeks before the season shut down put $20 on the Rockets. Baby, if they play a tournament like that, throw that money in there. They could win a goddamn tournament like that.
Yeah.
One game against everybody?
How about baseball's talking about just doing it in Arizona and Florida in the spring leagues, in the spring training?
Seven doubleheader days. It's crazy.
But it's interesting because if you are an Arizona spring league team, they're going to change up. Like, in other words, the Yankees and the Phillies might be in the same division. And the Mets, and it's gonna be strange. It could be
shorter season, more important games. Let's make it happen. Every sport, shorten the seasons. Let's make the games matter, and let's make it all happen.
About the mighty dollar. The longer the season, the more people.
I know, but this is gonna have to tell it to shut up. It's gonna have to stop.
NBA all should right, be 16.
We're hitting the 45 mark, so we're gonna bring out. Speaking of gambling, we're going to bring out the wild card son, Joe Richardson, everybody. Joe.
Great show, guys.
Dude, so happy to.
Strong, baby. Joe, I like it because you're like the substitute in soccer in like minute 75 or 80 when it's a tie game. It's like 0-0 or 1-1, and they bring you in. They see you all hopping on the sideline, and you come in, and you just take a wild shot and get the rebound. It's great.
I'm bringing in fresh legs but no offensive threat.
Corey, I know they're not in the same conference. That's the point I was making.
Yes.
Is that they would be this year.
Oh boy! All right.
It's kind of fun. It's gonna be a real weird sports year. In hindsight, it's gonna be where we just did whatever we could to get through. And like I said, there might not be a proper NBA Finals. It might be three out of five games. It might be one and done. But it'll be exciting, and we deserve something exciting.
Yes.
With all this shit going on.
Yes, absolutely.
But you can't hold winning it or not winning this year against anybody.
Speaking of exciting. Apparently, we have some TikTok shit that I actually saw today.
Yeah.
And was very embarrassed by. But
Richie, I feel like with your haircut and angle right now, you're about to yell, nerds!
Wait, you actually saw it? I thought this was going to be the debut.
No, this is the debut for me.
Here's the thing about this thing. You can't unsee it.
Oh, boy. This is going to get... Let's roll the Joel clip.
The one I saw, it's
oh boy.
Well, that's the other one I saw, and I really wish I didn't see that one.
Is there a second video?
Yeah, the dance one where you don't know how to do which you're going the wrong way on the whole dance.
Oh, I sent it to Joey. Oops.
We're going to have to save it for Monday.
Joel, it's going to be a great show, Mark.
Monday. Oh, yeah. Richie, give us a rundown.
Back by popular demand, the one, the only, Jimmy Cannizzaro. Jimmy Cannizzaro from Gotham, going to be on.
That guy's family.
God bless him. He's going to talk about the last 2 weeks. We had him from his hospital bed, James, and he was great. And he's coming on with his lovely wife, Jenna Esposito, who also had the virus. And was quarantined, obviously couldn't go see him. So that I'd love to know how hard that was for her. And we may, if he's up to it, our old pal Jeffrey Gorian, who blogs and writes, is a great writer, great, does stand up, was a guest on our show last year. And we
crushed on our show.
Jeffrey just got out of the hospital. He just beat it. And
if you guys can. Hold on, Rich. Before I just cut you off for 1 second. If you guys can, please go on our podcast and look up Jeffrey's episode.
It's a great episode.
It's so good. So many great old time stories of old comedy. And also subscribe to it. Why are you not subscribing to our goddamn podcast?
And Jeffrey had the virus and beat it, and he's home. He's home now, but he's weak, so he doesn't know if he's going to be up to it. But he's such a ham, I'm sure he'll come on.
He'll be there, baby. He'll
even
be
if there. It's for a few minutes. But guys, also please take the virus serious. I just had a good friend, Dave Zipper, who just passed away. He was my first boss in New York City. He ran the props department at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. He was a great dude, just passed, and I just found out today. So please do stay safe out there because it's real. It's definitely real.
Have a great weekend. Next week is going to be some awesome shows.
We have some great shows coming up.
They look for our commercial over the weekend.
Yes, and we have a little sketch that will play us out. James, don't tap out yet. After the credits, we'll see after the show in the green room.
Yeah, have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, guys. Be safe over the weekend.
So, how was your show?
No, I thought it went well. And apparently some guy on Twitter heckling the shit out of me.
Is this the same guy as before?
I don't know, but if I find out who this guy was, man, I'm going to rip his head off.
You should. He's been killing you week after week.
It's ridiculous, right?
It's crazy, yeah.
Can we catch a beer?
Yeah, all right, man, I guess. Nice new computer, by the way.
Well, that ain't my computer.
Well, whose is it?
Probably one of them floozies you brought home.
Yeah, I gotta cut down on the floozies. You're totally right, man.
You look like you ate Paul Rudd. You make Joe Piscopo look funny. You're the worst thing to happen to Italian Americans since the Jersey Shore.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.